Well, thank you, Harry. Good to see everyone. I did just get back just a few days ago, actually, from a six-week spend, if you will, in Florida. I was down there suffering for Jesus. I was talking to my kids while they were up here and during that time, and they said, "Man, did you and Mom ever pick the time to get away?" Apparently it was really cold, lots of snow, and et cetera, et cetera. But we were down there. We weren't just relaxing, doing some R&R. We were doing some ministry as well. A friend of mine who has a cancer, who was a Canadian, he was down there in one area in Florida. And we went down just to minister. His name is Wayne. And every once in a while through the day, five, six, seven, eight times a day, I would say, "Wayne, you're a healed man of God." At first, it was kind of foreign to him. But after a while, because we spent a couple of weeks with him, after a while it was, "Mike, you are a healed man of God as well as me." In other words, our confession is very important. And he began to believe that he was a healed man of God. There's no operation for what he has. He is down there, him and his wife, and they're down there for 3 or 4 months. And so he needs a divine touch from the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever been there? He needs that divine touch. There's no going into the hospital, getting up in the bed and doing the operation and cutting the cancer out. He needs that. Or he's going to pass on, according to the doctors. But we know that the doctors has the facts. The doctors are on our side. They're not against us. In fact, from time to time we hear at the door, knock, knock, and who is it? It's somebody raising money to fight a sickness or disease. So even the medical field is with us. They know that sickness and disease is the enemy, so they want to deal with that. And they want to stand against it and fight against it just like we do. In any case, that was part of what we did down there. Another part of it was we went and ministered at a church way down there near Alligator Alley, which is right down at the end of Interstate 75. And there are lots of alligators. We've seen lots of alligators. They took us to one lake there, a small lake, our friend. And they were telling us that in this little lake, there are 5,000 alligators. And it's no word of a lie. We looked out and just 20, 30 feet from us, because we were standing on a little embankment there that they built out a bit, we saw a big alligator just swimming by. And we thought, well, this is the last place we'd like to go for a swim. But we did end up over in the ocean. We started walking up and down the ocean and just in beautiful, amazing weather. It was 80 degrees most days. I was talking to that same friend today. In other words, the pastor friend. So now we've left my friend who had the cancer. We were over there now. And we're walking up and down the beach. And he said, "Well, I don't really want to rub it in, but today is only 78. I thought, well, that's kind of nice. Maybe we come back a little early. But in any case, after about 6 weeks, you're ready to go home, even if it is cold. The kids are wanting you. We have 8 grandkids. We have kids, great grandkids from 18 years old to 3. The 3-year-old towards the end was asking every day, all day long, "Where is Papa?" And so my son and daughter-in-law would tell me that, and so then I'd want to get home earlier. But we couldn't get home much earlier. We had to stop off and also speak and share and minister in Dayton, Ohio, which is where we go a lot. In any case, a lot of things happened, a lot of good things. We got some R&R, but after 6 weeks, it was good to get home, whether it's cold or not. And it's good to see all you people. And it sure is a blessing. I was just sitting over there thinking, because I was talking to some folks earlier, I've been coming out here for 5 years. I remember it was February, 5 years ago, that I was working through my second cancer. and how God just took that, and through a series of events and through some medical stuff and all the rest of it, he did a miraculous healing. It was a process, but it was miraculous because I was not supposed to live. I'll tell you about one healing, and then I'm going to share a little bit out of the Word tonight. I've had many healings. I only talk about three primary healings, over 12 years, by the way. Over that 12 years, it was I was able to spend 3 years in prayer. The first sickness was a year. The second sickness, thank you. The second sickness was a year and a half. The third sickness was 6 months. Each time during them sicknesses over the 12 years, I would take and use all of that time, any time that I could steal, any time that I could beg or borrow, and spend it with the Lord. I wanted to build relationship. I spoke in tongues, and I confessed the word over me, myself, and I for them 3 years. Sometimes 10, 12 hours a day. There were days that I went out, but for the most part, it could be up to 6 days a week. Now, if you do the math on that, you're going to see that that's close to 36 or 3700 hours a year, praying in the Spirit, confessing the Word. I've received healings that way, but I've also received healings through the medical field. Each time was different. Each time I stood in front of a bunch of doctors, they would say to me, well, this and that, but if you don't do something about it, you're going to die. And each time I would say, I need some time to seek the face of the Lord. Each time I would have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you like me to do about this? The last cancer I had, 08, 09, somewhere in there, I went to the doctors, Sunnybrook Hospital, and this cancer would cause me to be very, very sick and weakly. The first cancer, I was very afraid of dying. Even though I was in the ministry and preaching faith. The second cancer, though, I was very sick and weakly. And I said, I need to talk to the Lord. And I said to the Father, because we're allowed to do that. All of us, if we have a Father that we know and we can communicate and talk to, we know that we can go to that Father. And we can say, Lord, do I have enough faith to go through this? Because I know some people will say, well, yeah, just take and go and end up healed and all the rest of it. There is a lot more to it than that. And this time the Lord says, no, you don't have enough faith to go through this. So I took the operation. It ended up being a success. They got it all. But then I took radiation and I shared that here. But the third sickness and the one I want to talk about is this one. About 2.5 or 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with a disorder in the blood. And one of the disorders was a hepatitis C. And the hepatitis C was eating away at my liver. And it got to the point where my liver was fourth stage, meaning that it was not able to regenerate. If your liver takes a hit and you're well and healthy and the liver's fine, it can regenerate itself. The liver will regenerate itself. But if it's in that state where it cannot regenerate itself, then you're pretty well done. It's just a matter of time. They told me again, after many tests, because I thought, hey, this is not a cancer. This is not as bad as a cancer. Well, I'll tell you something. This hepatitis C ended up to be worse than both cancers, plus a few other diseases that I had along the way. It was worse than all of them put together. They had said, you're going to be very, very sick. And I might give you a 5-year sentence. But it was a sentence of death. And that would be by keeping me alive by drugs and so on, machines and so on. I thought, that's no life. He says, but I have an alternative. We just come out with a new drug. And it's called Vectrelis. I don't know if any of you know about this. But anyone who has hepatitis C, there is drugs that can go after it. There is a fairly good success rate of dealing with it. In any case, I took that drug, plus another drug called Ribavirin, plus I hit myself. This one is hard for me to even understand, because I'd spent 10 years in the world hitting myself, hitting up with drugs, speed and cocaine and morphine and heroin. And all of a sudden, here I am, it's almost 40 years later as a Christian, and I'm hitting myself with another poison, with a chemo. In any case, I felt that it was okay to do that. So I began doing that, and it was a 48-week program. Problem was, within 13 weeks, my body shut down. My organs had started separating, and some of them did separate from where they're supposed to be. I was dehydrated. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink. I was throwing up all over the place what little I could. There was not much there. I lost a lot of weight. I was very sickly, spent most of that time in bed, but doing these drugs. Ended up in the hospital somewhere around November. Not this year, last year. Somewhere in there. And while I was in the hospital, they kind of got me band-aided and fixed up a little bit, and I went back home. This is after 13 weeks. But they kept me on the drugs. And I couldn't understand why I stayed there. But I did. Within a week or two later, I was back in the hospital. And they were doing work on me again and all the rest of it and so on. One night, a doctor came in. He was all alone. It was 11 o'clock. He had no entourage of nurses or doctors with him. He was the head doctor for whatever medication he was giving me. I don't know if he was the head of anything else, but he was the guy who said what I was to get and all the rest of it. So I was alone in my bed as well. It was 11 o'clock at night. And when he walked in, he said, "Mr. O'Brien," kind of shuffled in with his head down. He said, "I am mad at myself." He didn't say angry. He said, "I am mad at myself." And I says, "Well, why?" He says, "Because what I've been giving you has been killing you." He expected that I would die that night. But when he said that, something happened on the inside of me, even laying in that bed. There was a faith that rose up, and I got angry at the devil. And I said, "You so-and-so, it's been 12 years you've had your way with me. From here on in, I will never, ever be sick again." Amen. That night I didn't jump out of bed, but it was the next day. I jumped out of bed and I went home. The doctors called and everybody called and they wanted to put me on this pill and that pill. I said, "No, I'm sorry, I'm done with drugs. I'm healed." There was a faith that rose up in me that I'd received my healing. And so as that happened, they were upset with me and all the rest of it. I said, "Well, just to prove this, I'm going to do something." And so I did. I left home with my wife for a month. And we just did a little traveling, went around and all the rest of it. I came back and I was feeling good. But the Lord says, "Now I'm going to take you out into ministry. This time it's going to be different. I've been in ministry for decades. But this time it will be different." And I was getting all excited. And he gave me the plan. And the plan has been working. Because it's been just over one solid year. In the meantime, the plan. God has a plan for each one of us, right? So anyways, I get back. And I didn't go see the doctor at all. I knew I was healed, even though they were calling me. A few months back, before we left to go south, I went to see the doctor. Let's say it was about a year, okay? A year after I jumped out of the hospital bed. And he wanted me to have some blood tests. I said, "Fine." I went for the blood test. Blood tests come back, and it showed that all my organs were totally normal, but especially liver was above average. Wow. Amen. Now, this is my GP. She said, well, I don't know all about this. I said, look, doc, whatever you want to do, you know, no problem. I'm healed. I've been traveling so far, so many places, constantly, that if I wasn't healed, I wouldn't be here. He says, okay, let's take another blood test. So we took another blood test, and this is all documented. And when it came back, about a 2-week period in there, he looked at it, and I was sitting in his office. And I'm smirking now, because he's looking, and he's kind of with a frown on his face, but he's reading the documentation. He looks over to me, he says, well, I guess you really are healed. I says, doc, I've been telling you that all along, all this year that I am healed. I have it documented, and not only am I just average, I'm above average. My liver works better than most normal people. God is in the healing business. Now, I know what healings are. Healings can be a process, and it can take time. But there's also that miraculous healing, which I received that night. There's a difference. There's a healing, which is a process. There's also a miraculous healing, which happens like that. And that's what happened. And after 12 years, 3 years praying in the Spirit. See, when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Why? My purpose was to build that relationship with the Lord. Not to receive some mega revelation to do something. It was just to build that relationship with the Lord. God loves to speak to us through our inner man. I see his looking. It's true, you know what I mean though. He wants to speak to us through the inner man. You know the knower, when you know that you know you got to do something. Or if you're doing something or going somewhere, the Lord says something, you say, thank you, Lord. Like in Acts chapter 9, an unheard of till then, Ananias. The Lord says, Ananias. Ananias says, here I am, Lord. That's the key. He knew the Lord enough where he said, here I am, Lord. And then God began to tell him what to do. He was to go and minister to the Saul of Tarshish. Well, he had a little argument, and that's okay, but the Lord won. The fact of the matter is that Ananias says, here I am, Lord. So I have been totally healed. I walk totally healed. I can get up and go anywhere at any time. In fact, I better not say that. I was going to say, I'm chasing my wife around now, you know, but I won't say that. But in any case, I'll tell you a couple other testimonies and maybe get to the word. I won't keep you too long. We were, this year, this is not like old stuff, this is this year. I may have shared some of it, I may not have. We were up in Quebec, and a lot of this is through interpretation. A lot of us is way up in Quebec as well. And we're ministering up in there. And we're having some meetings, and one guy's we know he can. This guy could speak English. He was telling us that through ministry time, he was saying that his mother, as a kid, would tell him to go into the basement, and while he was in the basement, she was talking to him and telling him that he'll never be any good, he'll never make it, he's no good, and all the rest of it. She was just a mean mother. Now he's 50 years old, and he's got all that garbage to deal with. God give us a word for him. And God touched him that night, and he began to be free in that situation, you know, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. God loves us so much. That was his mother that said that. That was not God. God is love. God loves you, man. And that's the way it is. But saying that, we can say it knowing that we have the relationship with God. And this is what God wants to do. So we hit the nail on the head. Another meeting, there was a lady that walked in. And she had seen one of my books. She was from the area. And she said, I knew you were here tonight. I just wanted to come after we talked to her. But she came up and sat in the front room, never been in church before. And as she was sitting there, I was preaching and teaching for an hour or so, stopped. When I stopped, pastor's wife said, this girl's name is Linda, and Linda would like to get some prayer for cancer. God is giving right now me, I'm not going to say a special, but it's an anointing to pray for people with cancer. I'm seeing a lot of things happen to people who've had cancer. Cancer, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, has to bow.
Amen.
And he's giving us faith in that area. I may not have as much faith as you in some area, but in this area, I hate cancer. I know that it has to bow to Jesus Christ. And when we pray, I believe that God is moving on that, and cancer has to leave. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, when the supernatural hits the natural, something is going to give. And I paraphrase that. But anyway, she's sitting at the front, and so we prayed for her for that. I know that cancer left. And then we found out that she was not born again. So we led her in a sinner's prayer. She got born again. And then the pastor was reluctant. He was with me. But I said, no, no, we got to go for this. So we prayed for her and she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She left that place saved, healed, and filled. And that's God. That's what God is doing these days. There was another lady, I may have shared this one here, but she had come out to one of our meetings, and this was through interpretation. God give us a word of knowledge concerning her. And we said that there's somebody here who has a ringing in their ear. It's one ear, and it's sometimes. It's not all the time. She came forward. We found out through interpretation that her father beat her to a pulp over and over, and he sired three children with her. Not just one, but three. Can you imagine how messed up she might have been? And now she's walking in this. But because God is love, and then he gave a word of knowledge, we prayed for her. Bang, she was healed. Now, how do I know that she's healed, and how do I know that she stays healed? Because I keep in touch with the pastors of these places. I don't just want to go out there and share about this and that and all the rest of it, and I pray. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe that, yes, we pray. Every one of us here has prayed. We need to go back and find out if it's there and if it's sticking. And if not, we need to pray more if necessary, whatever it is we need to do. There was another lady. She was about 65 years old. She came into one of these meetings. And she was a grandmother. She had tried to commit suicide on two different occasions. Her children and grandchildren rejected her because they thought that she was a nut trying to kill herself. Who do you think you are? But in any case, she had a lot of problems. At the end of the meeting, we found out that she wanted some prayer, so we went and prayed with her. Now, this only took 3 or 4 minutes. As soon as I went over, God said, schizophrenia. And I know counselors would say, well, you need to work it out. You need to plan 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then later, another plan, another situation. But Dr. Jesus doesn't need all that stuff. Within minutes, we went over. And my wife laid her hand on this girl's lady's stomach. And we moved this thing up. We felt and we know that she was demonically, there was something demonic in there causing this. Causing the depression, causing the suicide, all the rejection from her kids. There was something in like a family. Families, demons work together as families. In any case, once this thing got up to her neck, it was like a football but sideways. And I just, something come over me like that faith, and I just grabbed her by the neck. I said, out in Jesus' name. And this demon just flew out. This lady just rose up. She was totally, completely delivered. Now, how do I know that she was totally, completely delivered and stayed totally and completely delivered? Because about 2 weeks later, I was driving down the 401, and the pastor called me. I'm in my car. And he says, so-and-so is doing so good, you wouldn't believe it after 2 weeks. Because I told her, I says, now that you've got deliverance, you need to hold it. And I said, I don't know where it came from. It was obviously the Lord. I said, you need to, every day for 1 month, practice praying in the Spirit for 1 hour and confessing the word over yourself. And the pastor told me that that's what she's doing, and she is walking in victory. You see, when we allow the Spirit of God to pray through us, it's not only for other people, it's for us. And when it's the Spirit of truth praying in us, it's not a Spirit, it's the Spirit of God. It's the promise of the Father. Luke 24:49, when Jesus left, he says, but tarry till you receive the promise of the Father. And he came in Acts chapter 2. We know what happened. He came in like a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire. These things are emblems of the Holy Spirit. Fire, wind, water, dove, all these things are emblems. The power of God came in. And they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in other tongues. And I've talked about the four levels of different tongues here because there's a lot of confusion about tongues. We won't go there tonight. But in any case, I wanted to share that with you. And now I would like to share from the Word. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. I have fast-forwarded this for the sake of time. But I definitely want to build up your faith. Matthew chapter 25. Can you hear me without the mic?
No.
Okay. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called who? His own servants. This was not the world he was talking to. He was talking about us, Christians. He called his own servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Now, I know that this parable, Jesus spoke it. And he said it for a reason, and I know it's basically talking about money. But I want to say something else too concerning it. He gave his goods to his people according to ability. We receive ability as we build relationship with the Lord. Example, he gave 5 talents to one man, 2 to another, and 1 to another. If he's no respecter of people, then why would he do that? It's because they were building relationship with the Lord. If you have a kid and he's 13 years old, you're not going to trust him with your car. But if you build a relationship with that boy, and that boy is old enough to drive, and you know that he's going to use his ability to do it right, you can give him the keys to the car. So just keeping that in mind. And verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to several as his ability, and straight away he took his journey. The lights are a little low here, so just excuse me. But then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made the same, and made them other 5 talents. So he got 5, he made 5 more. He was a mature Christian. That's okay. Thanks anyway. No, it's okay. Thanks anyway. There must have been some sort of relationship here for the Lord to say, you can take 5. You can take 2. You can take 1. He didn't give the one that he gave 1 to 5. There was a reason for that. Where are we in our maturity walk with the Lord? Where are we in our relationship? Relationship is part of this ability. I'm not trying to confuse it. I'm just trying to say, the more mature we get into the Lord, the more understanding of His knowledge of His Word, the more that we're going to seem to have ability to be able to do what it is He's called us to do. If we never take time to read His Word, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We need to take time to develop. Sometimes we may be watching a program on television, and God says, I want you to come because I want to teach you something from the Word. I want you to come because I want to have fellowship with you. We have to learn to say, yeah, Lord, here I am. I want to grow with you, and I want to build that relationship. In any case, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He didn't want that relationship. He didn't have one. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest thou unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now I read that because I'm trying to set it up for the next few scriptures. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. See, he did know them, but his relationship wasn't very strong. Thou art a hard man. He had no love for the Lord or his kingdom. Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. How come, Lord, that you reap where you do not sow? How come I have to work in your kingdom? How come? I want them to do that. You see, as a pastor, I learned a long time ago, and this is not a dig against anybody, but it's well said, there's stats on this, that it's maybe a little different in some places, but 10% of the people do 90% of the work. There are some people that go to church and they don't really want to do anything. But even never mind, forget church. You don't want to talk to your neighbor. You don't want to talk to that person who you work with in the office, who you drive with, who you work in your career with. Jesus says something here, and this is hard for a lot of some of the body of Christ right now with some of the things that are floating around out there. But he said, verse 27, he said, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there, you can have thine. Take it back. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore at least to have put my money in the exchangers and let them make money for me. Why did you bury it? I gave you talent, You may not have known me, but I knew you. And that's why I only gave you one. But you wouldn't even take the one and do anything with the one. 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are people who really don't pick up and do anything for the Lord. I'm not saying you people, I'm just saying. But there's coming a time when this particular dispensation will be over. You will not have opportunity to share with family, friends, and people within work, and so on. God will give you everything you need to do it. Everything. In November of 1971, I took a drug overdose, and I did end up going to hell. I spent 10 minutes in hell, and later on when I come to, I had extensive brain damage. I didn't come to Christ for 3.5 years after that, so for them 3.5 years, I was out of it a lot of the time and so on. And I began to carry a 45 to be able to take what I needed. And I needed a lot of drugs to keep happy. I was in the drug scene from 1965 to 75, but this was 1971, and I was not born again. I'm here to say that hell is real. And whatever talent the Lord has given to you, stir it up. Just as I was being prepped and ready to be thrown into hell, because I went down the tube, landed on my feet, and a demon on one side, a demon on this side, was taking me and throwing me into hell. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth in there. There is the fires. There is all the stuff that you can hear about, read about. I don't need to go into it. I'm here just to say that it's very, very real. But on the other hand, heaven is very real as well. Hell was not created for man. Revelations 20 and 10 says it was created for the devil, the false prophet, and the beast, and so on. They were thrown into the second death, if you will, fire and brimstone. But they deceived people. And I'm saying there's coming a time when this dispensation ends, and you won't have opportunity anymore to talk to them people. Now, if you can't talk to the people, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, yes, that he would send the people to talk to them. I have some members in my family, and that's what I'm doing. I'm holding on to the promises of God. One of them is in Acts 16. Remember the jailer? He's about to kill himself. Paul says, oh, wait a minute. He says, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved in your household. And I'm holding on to that. But I may not be the person that goes to that person. So Luke, I believe it's chapter 10, verse 2, it says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send harvesters into the harvest field. There are people that can talk to your family. You don't need to see them go to hell. You can bring them to the place where there'll be nothing around them. In other words, they'll be able to make the decision based on being in the right place. You can't make it for them, but you can bring them to the place by having people go there and talk to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You all have talents, and it takes the whole body to run smoothly. And we need to run smooth, and we need to be well-oiled. We want revival. Revival is good. But we can't have revival just for the, sort of like the anesthetic. There are lots of signs and wonders happening. But revival begins in the heart. What would you do if 50 people walked in here and got born again? Are you ready in your heart not to hurt them? Because God does not want to send people into a people, his body, if then people will get hurt. He wants to send the people in more than you know, and more than we know, and more than what even we even want. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Will we hurt them or will we love them? Will we walk with them? Because a lot of what we're doing here as Christians is not about us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but everlasting life. He wants us to walk as he walked. We're not the Redeemer and all the rest of it. But we can sure introduce them to who the Redeemer is. You would never send someone, one of your kids, into a place where they would get hurt. So we as the body of Christ, when we walk in love and move in faith, because faith works by love, to be able to stand with them like the paraclete. Paraclete means you just put your arm around them and walk with them in fellowship. Now there's people doing that. And hell is real, but heaven is so real. No more pain, tears, sickness. No more enemy. It's going to be amazing. And if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be there. George Jenkins, I was talking to him today, and he said something profound. He has got me in as a speaker in Kitchener in August. Now, I just got back from Florida and Ohio and so on. I said, George, you know, in terms of these meetings, because I'm scheduling for a couple, I said, what would you like me to speak on? He says, just don't forget about the net. And it hit me so hard. We have to throw the net over on the people and pull them in. Wow. Like fish. And that's where we have to be. Not that I wasn't seeking the Lord. I was just only just starting to seek the Lord because it's just starting to happen. I just had the invite. And I would know what to share based on what the Lord tells me to share. But talking to him sometimes cuts through because George loves God. He has given it up for the Lord. He is definitely a revivalist. He's going to Africa next month. So pray for him. Is there anybody here? Actually, why don't you just close your eyes? There's so much good the Lord has for you. Is there anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Christians, please be praying. I would ask that you raise your hand. Is there anybody here that's not sure? See, all the things we do as a Christian are wonderful. But the most and best thing is to become born again. These works shall you do, and greater works shall you do. Why? Because I go to my Father. The greater work is getting somebody born again. Is there anybody here that needs a touch in their body then? I would like to pray with you. I don't know how we'll do that. Maybe have a healing line on this side. But is there anybody here that needs the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I ask Jesus to come up here. My dear brother Brad, would you have time to help? Ralph and other pastors, and I believe you're a pastor, sir. Would you help as well if you'd like? I don't know everybody. Pastors first. And anyone else who feels that they have this anointing. You see, there's something I just want to, I'll share this. A friend of mine had a vision of the world, and around the world was like a black cloud, like darkness. And the Lord spoke to me, says, what do you think that is? He said, well, that's demons, of course. He says, no, that's humans. There are some people, though, that will break through that with their hands and have amazing anointing on their hands to touch for healing. There are some that will break through that head and hands, and they'll be able to speak and minister and teach as well as lay hands. But there's other that will break totally, completely through. And when they break totally, completely through, they'll be like dynamite. Jesus is the dynamite of heaven. He wants us to be the dynamite here. Yes.